She cheated, the careful congregant might say. That part of our sacred story we just heard, it's from Matthew, and we are reading Luke. She cheated. I did. With deliberation and intention, I veered from the prescribed reading for this week. Circumstances made this seem like the really right thing to do. Circumstances of a national climate that is unlike anything most of us have ever experienced. There is a tension and an energy that is making day-to-day life turbulent. It is around us and active, regardless of our pleasure or disappointment in the presidential election results, the initial executive actions, and appointments. It is around us, regardless of our excitement about this being the day that the Pats have made, or if tonight we're going to feel like a Jewish person on Christmas Eve. Tension and energy that make day-to-day life turbulent, and right now, hyper-turbulent. So this week, I chose a part of our sacred story that speaks directly about turbulence. And it wasn't hard to find a passage like that. It was harder to narrow it down. Our sacred story is full of unsettled situations and challenging conditions. It seems that unsettled and challenging is a normative way of being alive. What our sacred story does, offers, emphasizes, is the available and active presence of the holy in the midst of whatever is, and the conviction that God's presence can shape the way we react and respond to the knots in our stomachs and the tears in our hearts. Our sacred story tells us about our God who has agency, agency that is fueled by love and compassion. Our sacred story gives us the life, way, wonder of Jesus, who walks with us and who models for us how we humans can be fueled by love and compassion and let that shape our lives. Jesus' story is inundated with declarations of don't be afraid. It begins with the fear nots of Luke's birth story. Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. And these fear nots continue through his life, death, and resurrection. Don't be afraid. Yep, the world is going to come at you and your feet will get knocked out from under you. The best laid plans and dreams of our hearts will crumble. We don't know or control what is to come. And in that very vulnerable situation, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because God is present and pouring out love, and love wins. God is doing the holy, sacred part and is with us and in it all. But it is left to us to decide if we will let that matter. We can opt to pay attention and recognize and respond, or not. And regardless of our response, God continues being a God of life and love. Jesus lived in an oppressive, violent empire, and in those hostile conditions, he chose to trust, practice, and share God's way of love and life. That's what Jesus did. That's what he invites his followers to do. To recognize him in our midst and to let that presence give us courage to love and have hope and be active in sharing the gospel. Recognize him. Remember that he is present. So basic and yet so complicated. The disciples had a hard time doing that, and they had been living and working with him. They knew the twinkle in his eye and the furrow in his brow. They knew his gait and the way his hair got tussled about in the wind. It should have been easy for them to recognize him right out there on the water. But they thought it was a ghost, and that scared them. And to their fear, Jesus responds, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter's attention is sparked. That could be Jesus, or it might not be. So he engages in a conversation. "If it's you, command me to come to you." It's Jesus, and Jesus says, "Come." And he does, and it's amazing. He is moving closer to the love, the hope that is right there and accessible to him. He's doing something he didn't imagine he could ever do, whether it's literally walking on the water or metaphorically doing something that amazing. He's going to latch on to Jesus and embrace, "Don't be afraid." Except then the wind kicks up, and that knot in his stomach becomes pronounced. And he seems to forget the option of clinging to Jesus. And he starts sinking into the water. And then he remembers who is with him, and he cries out for Jesus. And Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. It seems that this story might have something to say to us today. The seas are stormy. And in the midst of that turbulence, Jesus is seeking to be with us. And us, what will we do?
"Oh, John. Wait. Oh, Peter. Peter. Is it as bad as all that?"
"Yeah. Yeah."
"But you've changed your clothes. You're dry now."
"Well, it wasn't the getting wet that bothered me. It was the making such a fool of myself. Why did you let me do it? Surely you knew what was going to happen."
"What have the others said?"
"Well, actually, they've been quite good. Apart from Andrew, who keeps making snide comments about webbed feet."
"Well, your shoulders are broad enough."
"It's not my feet or my shoulders, Jesus. It's my head. Whatever made me try that?"
"Well, you tell me. Why don't you try it?"
"Well, you know what I'm like. I have these, what I think, are incredible ideas. And I have a fear of missing out, so I always want to be in on the action, and you made it look so easy." We all thought it was a ghost at first. You know, stomping grapes and making wine, well, that's just one thing. But walking on water, that's out of the question. It had to be a ghost that was coming over to us. But then we realized it wasn't a ghost, it was you. It was you. Jesus, you were walking on the sea.
And you wanted to do the same.
I did.
Why?
A bit of me wanted to see if I could do it.
And a bit of you wanted to show off. Was that it?"
"Yeah. But I was doing it in the beginning. I started out okay, didn't I?"
"Yes, you did, but for about 5 yards. And then?"
"Well, after that, I don't remember a thing. Until I woke up in the boat with James pulling seaweed out of my mouth. What happened, anyway?"
"I'll tell you what happened. You stopped looking at me and started looking at the waves."
"What else could I do? Hardly anything. There were big swells. There were scary waves."
"Remember Lot's wife, Peter?"
"Did she try walking on the water?"
"No, but like you, instead of looking ahead, she began to be fascinated by the danger all around her. And she ended up being destroyed."
"Not sure what you're saying. What's your point?"
"Peter, I have asked you to follow me. And you can only follow me if you watch what I'm doing and see where I'm going. Wherever I am, there will be trouble and opposition. There will be waves of your making and others made by those who react against you. There will be threats all around you, and there will be distractions inside you. Doubt, uncertainty, and all the old temptations you thought you had left behind. If you keep looking at those things, you will go under. If you keep your eye on me, you'll stay afloat.
So Jesus, it's as easy as that?
No, dear. It's not as easy as all that. It's not easy at all.
Do you ever feel like giving up? Like it's too much? Like there's no hope?
No.
Is there anything else?
You're not on your own. Ever. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger than your fear.
Amen.